This is the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. We welcome you today to worship with us around the precious Word of God. We trust the singing as well as the preaching of the Word will be a blessing in your heart, that you'll be uplifted from listening to this service by means of this tape. We love you and just desire God's best to be yours in the days ahead. Right now, the choir is going to sing a song that says, "I am thine, O Lord." We're going to be preaching on the church today, the church in the world. And I trust you'll be praying for this service today. Holmes is going to come to read our scripture for us this morning. He also wrote a poem that he's going to read. While he's coming up, we'd like to mention these prayer requests. My wife is in the Central Baptist Hospital in Lexington, as many of you know. And hopefully she'll get to come home tomorrow. We're supposed to call down this afternoon and find out about this. And the Lord has certainly provided our needs, and none of the surgery was malignant. We thank God for that, and trust you'll be back among us soon to keep on working for the Lord here in our church. We also want to continue to pray for Kathleen as she continues to have treatments in Lexington. Be praying for her as they drive down each day. Also, Mrs. Back and Jonathan Honchel, a little boy that we've been having in her bulletin for a long time. Anna Campbell, can pray for her. And these next four names in the bulletin, Gay Couch, Melvin Pollard, Barry Conley, and Green Farler, are four names that Anita Napier gave me the other day. That's
Be praying also for each of these other requests listed here in the bulletin. Sam Fugit, Sam's mother died, and Sam was in the Bahamas for cancer treatments, and he's home now for his mother's funeral. And let's be praying for Sam and lift him up in prayer. Also, John and Lucy Talby and Ms. White's mom and dad, Farmer Miller and Murray Caldwell, Ms. Barker and also Mrs. Maud Barker, Brother Finch's mother, Jasper Gayhart. Let's be praying also for Teresa's dad in intensive care, Teresa Napier's dad. Also, Brian Fields, and can't pray for Scott, and Jimmy Fields, Brother Sutton's grandson. Also, Roger. I told her we're glad that Roger's able to be back with us. And in fact, I want to say right now, I appreciate Big Roger driving behind me from Lexington Friday. He kept his eye on me all the way, and the Lord kept his eye on both of us. Right, Roger? And we appreciate that. This time, Brother Paul, would you come and read our scripture and lead us in prayer? And
this morning for Brother Burns, he couldn't be here. Our scripture is Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send labors into the harvest. See, this morning I was thinking about so much talk about the weather, and there's a verse of scripture in the Bible come to my mind. I see we've got an audience here this morning that ain't been a putting all their time in talking about the weather. It says, fail not to assemble yourselves in the house of the Lord as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I see we've all, some of us, been reading that verse of scripture. And I thank the Lord for it. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, our God, we thank you for this wonderful day. We know, Lord, that thou art God, and there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you have this audience out here this morning that show that they're not just the mean business, Lord, in working for you. The Bible says faith without works is not dead, or is dead, I mean. Lord, we are so thankful for everyone here this morning. We know that God is her refuge and her strength and her very present help in trouble. Thank you again, Lord, for this day. For the ones that don't know you, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them, Lord, and that they will not leave this room till they are saved. Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done, for every good and perfect gift you've given us, every prayer you've answered. We pray that we can have our prayers answered, Lord, and that we can pray the effect of fervent prayer, and they will not return to us for it. We ask this prayer this morning in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Brother James was saying something about I had a little poem here I wrote yesterday. Couldn't get out of the house to do nothing, hardly. And Lord said to me, says, you could write a little poem today if you wanted to. It might help somebody. And I thought a few minutes, and I said, what could I write on, Lord? He said, well, you know what to write on. You just sit down and go write. And it comes to my mind about the Christ the witness unto the rich young ruler, you know, in the Bible. And that's what this poem is about. It's the title of it here is, Why Did the Rich Man Walk Away? It says, when Jesus met the rich man while he was on his way, as he told him the story of Jesus, he turned and walked away. As Jesus told the story, what more could he say? As the rich man hung his head and turned and walked away. Jesus knows our troubles each and every day. Let us heed to his calling and not turn and walk away. He will come to our rescue no matter what we say, if we will strive to do his will and not turn and walk away. He knows our heart and mind and the debt we have to pay. Let us keep this thought in mind and not turn and walk away.
Thank you, Brother Holmes, for this and prayer, Steve.
Father, we just thank you for this day and we come out to your house today, Lord. And we just pray that you'll be with Kathleen and Myrna and many others mentioned in the bulletin, Lord. And
amen.
Thank you. Bless and comfort them because we know all their needs, Lord. We just pray for this service today and everyone's out, Lord. And we just pray that you'll give Brother Holmes the words to say that will touch our hearts and help us in our daily walk with you, Lord. We just pray that you will help us and be with us to be better Christians, Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. We just pray all these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
just before the message, Tom and Fred are going to come to sing for us, and maybe Debbie, is she going to help you?
The love of God.
last summer, actually summer before last, as I looked out in the Pacific Ocean, I thought of this song. God's love, we can't measure it. Thank God that we can have His love. The Bible says, he that is born of God is born of love, for God is love. Brother Combs told me before Sunday school started that he had been studying the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. And that's a wonderful chapter in the Bible. Be good to even try to memorize that chapter, the love of God and God's love. This morning we want to look into a subject that I trust will cause us to think on our way as God's people. And if you're here without the Lord, I trust it will cause you to think on your way. As we speak on the church in the world. The church in the world. Many times we can't tell the church from the world and the world from the church. You know, when the ship is in the water, that's all right. But when the water gets in the ship, it can be disastrous. The same way when the church is in the world, that's wonderful. That's the way it's supposed to be. But when the world gets in the church, it can be disastrous. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to be different from the world. We need to dare to be different. We need to dare to stand up if we stand alone. We'll never stand alone because God will stand with us. The church is in the world. And my friend, today I trust that we as God's people, as God's church, here in this world, that we'll let our light shine. A fellow wrote a poem that went like this. The church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. Come, give me your hand, cried the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, nay. In the stanzas that follow in this poem, it shows the church and the world getting closer together. And the last stanza says, the sons of the world and the sons of the church walk closely hand and heart, and only the Master who knoweth all could tell the two apart. Friends, you and I are in the world, but we're not of the world. The world has lost its transient lure, its evil spell I shun. I set my course for higher things till earth's brief race is run. In the bulletin today, I have the food for thought on the second page of the bulletin that says, are you making a mark on the world, or is the world making a mark on you? My friend, you and I need to make a mark on the world. The world needs to be a better place in which to live because we're here. Because we know the Lord as our own personal Savior. Our key verse today is going to be John 17 and verse 15. Jesus is praying, and he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The Lord wants us to stay here in this world, to be a light for Him, to be salt. First of all, in the verses that Brother Combs read for us, the church in the world, you and I should see people through the eyes of Jesus, first of all. That's the first point that we'd like to make today. We should see people through the eyes of Jesus. We're Jesus' eyes, as it were. His hands, His feet, His ears, His tongue. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when He saw the multitudes," this is Jesus looking out at the multitudes, it says, "He was moved with compassion on them." Why? "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Today, friends, you and I need to see people who are without Jesus as being one heartbeat away from hell. Let's look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus looked at people with eyes of compassion, not pity. Somebody say it like this: compassion is love with its working clothes on. There's a lot of difference in compassion and pity. And Jesus looked at people with compassion. In Mark 1, there was a leper who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me whole." The Bible says in verse 41 of Mark 1, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith to him, I will, be thou clean." No one who ever met Jesus was the same again. This leper went and spread the word everywhere, even though the Lord said, "Don't tell anybody about it." He went and published what Jesus had done for him. Thank God for this leper who loved Jesus. Jesus loved that leper. I wonder how many lives you and I have touched and loved for Jesus' sake. Do we see people through the eyes of Jesus? In Mark 10, there was a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus who cried out to Jesus for mercy. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And some of the most beautiful words in the Bible, it says, in Mark 10:49, it says, "And Jesus stood still." You know where Jesus was going on His way to the cross? He was going to Jerusalem. And Jesus stopped long enough to meet the need of a blind man. The last time we see blind Bartimaeus, he's not blind anymore. Jesus opened his eyes. And the last verse of Mark 10 says that this blind man was following Jesus. Do we see people through Jesus' eyes? May we as a church today see people as Jesus would see them, that we would love them and care for them. Everyone today needs the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Not only does the church and the world need to see people through the eyes of Jesus, we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields that are ripe unto harvest. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, one of the verses Brother Combs read for us, it says, "Then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Monday night, Myrna and I stayed with Hogue Hawkinsmith and his wife, Norley, Ms. Johnson's daughter and son-in-law. Today, as I stand behind this pulpit in Airport Gardens, Hazard, Kentucky, Hogue and Norley Hawkinsmith are in Venezuela giving out a witness for Jesus. They're going to be there for 12 days. Their picture was in yesterday's Lexington Herald. Leaving for a foreign country to give out God's word. My friend, we need to look on the fields that are white under harvest. There's never been anything wrong with the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, that's the problem. The laborers are few. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 4:19? He said, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Never been anything wrong with the harvest. The laborers are few. And the Lord needs other laborers to be thrust out into the vineyard to work for Him. After Jesus had talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the disciples had gone into the city to buy some physical food, and they came back and wanted Jesus to eat some physical food. They had been to the grocery store. And Jesus said this, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Last February, we heard a fellow preach who was president of the Southern Baptist Convention at that time. He preached on John chapter 4. And he said this, as he gave the message, "These disciples were more interested in getting something for their physical body, some physical food, than they were to look out on the fields that are white to harvest." Jesus said in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." Did you know what? As we stand here today, there are people who are going out into eternity. One of the fellows that I had in school as a student a few years ago took his own life just recently. My friend, we need to look higher than this old world. My hope is built on nothing less, the songwriter said, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There was an artist one time who drew a picture of a decaying church. It was a beautiful church. But you know, next to the offering plate, or a little coin box it was, that bore this inscription, "For foreign missions." Over the slot through which contributions could be dropped, he had painted a huge cobweb. And the Daily Bread said like this, "Any church that is not involved in proclaiming the gospel to the world should take another look at why it is in existence. It may have an imposing structure, a large budget. The congregation may be engaged in a lot of activity. But if God's missionary program for this age goes unaided or unattended, something is wrong. We need today to lift up our eyes and look on the fields that are white under harvest. We can be prayers, asking the Lord to send forth laborers. We can be workers, For how shall they hear without a preacher? And we can even be senders. God's servants can't preach except they be sent. My friend, today, as we stand here in this comfortable church, there are untold millions perishing. Untold. I almost envy Hogan Norley right now as they're in Venezuela, giving out the message. There was a missionary one time was asked by a native, "How long have you known this message that you're giving out?" And the missionary said, "Quite a while." And the native said this to the missionary, "Why haven't you been here before? Why haven't you been here sooner if you've known the message so long?" My friend, there are untold millions that are perishing. Untold. Our whole family went one time to Logan, West Virginia, to hear Jerry Falwell and one of the I Love America rallies that he had a few years ago. That group sang a song entitled "The Church Triumphant." It starts out with this: "Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice." My friend, I'd like to encourage each one of us who know the Lord today. Let the church be the church. Last, the church in the world needs to hear the call to reap. Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Isaiah had a vision, Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord high and lifted up. He saw Jesus. He saw himself as undone. The Lord cleansed him. And then the Lord said to him in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah was cleansed. He was ready to go. We need to be available. You know what Isaiah said? "Then said I, here am I, send me." Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." The Lord today is looking for more reapers, more people to harvest, the people that are lost in sin. There's a song in our song books, page 399. I want to read a verse or two. The title of this song is "Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling." 399. It says, "Hark the voice of Jesus calling. Who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the Master calleth. Rich reward he offers free. Who will answer, gladly saying, 'Here am I, send me, send me'? The last stanza, 'Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth, 'Here am I, send me, send me.'" My friend, the Lord is calling for reapers. How about you getting into the harvest field? First thing you need to do is put on the robe of righteousness. Come to know him as your own personal Savior and Lord. Paul said it like this: "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I would say today with that songwriter, let the church be the church. We've got a great work to do. My mom said she'd rather have one of her children giving out God's word than to be president of the United States. My friend, we're in the greatest work that this world knows anything about. Each one of us who are saved today, we have a message to give. As Debbie comes to play for us in her imitation hymn, this song says, I surrender all. I surrender all. You need to do that today. There's no other way to be happy but give the Lord everything. As Brother Tom comes to lead us in this hymn, 349, I surrender all. This is the pastor, James Hamlin, wishing each of you a wonderful week as you keep looking up. I know God's certainly able to bless you and supply your every need as you would look to Him. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God bless each one of you. Is there a prayer?